What's going on, friends? Tony Stuffin here, back with another episode of the School of Success podcast. And today I'm joined by my friend Amar Patel, who is the CEO of Edge Supplements. And Amar and I were introduced together by a mutual friend, Bedros Koulian. And super excited to have you here today, sir. How's everything going?
Everything's going good. Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So I'm a huge fan of what you're doing. Your Instagram content is fire, man. Absolute fire. You've obviously been having tons and tons of success with Edge Supplements. And I believe if I'm correct, you're helping my mentor, Bedros Koulian, with his Fit Body Bootcamp out. So yeah, man, would love just to hear a little bit more about your story, how you got started as an entrepreneur, and just kind of what it took to get you here today.
Yeah, that's not a problem. Yeah, so Bedros did link me up with you a while ago, and you know, it was probably what, 2 weeks ago?
Yep.
So he told me that, yeah, you do a podcast, and you know, he was able to get me on the podcast with you today. So I have no problem going over, you know, my past experiences, where I've come from, where I've done in the health and fitness industry, because that's what I've stayed in the health and fitness industry since I was 16. I got my first job at a gym called New York Sports Club in New Jersey. I'm originally from New Jersey, but right now I live in Los Angeles. So nice. To start off from the beginning, I mean, when I was at 16, I pretty much had to go to work, right? So my brother had gotten a couple cars, and I was the younger one, and they had learned their lesson when my brother had actually crashed most of those cars. So when I was 16, my parents said, I'm not able to get a car. So the first thing I did was I got up and I got really mad at them. So I actually didn't talk to them for a whole year. I went to go get a job, and you know, literally 1 year later, I came home with two cars. So that's what really started everything, was my parents told me I couldn't have something when I was younger. It got me to get up, go literally work out and work. And that's what I've been doing ever since, the last 10 years. So I've still stayed in the fitness industry since then. But if you want to, we can go over most of the other stuff on the way to 26 years old.
Yeah. That's interesting. It's kind of always funny how, you know, sometimes disadvantages, right, it can lead to setting us up for success and, you know, kind of fueling your passion. So you're in the supplement industry, man, which, I mean, I don't know a whole lot about it. Obviously, I'm in health and fitness too, but to me, that's like one of the most competitive industries, like within the fitness industry. So obviously there's coaching and there's all the branches of coaching, but then there's supplements. Like I feel like everyone, you know, wants a supplement company or is a brand rep for a supplement company. So like, how did you build up Edge Supps to where it's at? And like, you know, how did you stand out in such a competitive part of the industry?
That's a really good question, because, you know, the competition in any business you go to, there's always competition. And I don't believe that you can't make it to the top. You just got to figure out stuff that they haven't figured out yet in order for you to work your way to the top. So like the same thing with any other business. If you look at Bedros' business, Fit Body Bootcamp, how does he grow, you know, to 693 locations in such a small amount of time? It wasn't rocket science. I mean, it was just the fact that he branded himself and he took it to the next level. Same thing with supplements. I mean, everybody wants to be into the supplement game, but the only problem is they don't see that this whole industry is corrupt with a lot of companies that don't do the right thing. So when people start to look more into detail on, you know, the quality of your supplements, how your packaging is, what your marketing tactics are, I mean, if you look at it in the broad scheme of things, I mean, you're pretty much ahead of the game already, because they're all out for the dollar value of what is this one customer going to bring in for me? And you know, nobody ever goes after how many more people can I impact? And that's a problem in the industry, is that people are going after one thing, which is just the money, because there's a lot of money to be made in this industry. I know companies that do $100 million a year, and I know companies that have hit $1 billion in the supplement space. But they all, once you get past a certain amount of dollar volume, these companies start to forget about quality and start to go after what is bottom line, because they're so addicted to making the money that they've never figured out how many people am I actually impacting, and why are these people going to purchase from me next month, and did I give them a quality supplement and the customer service they needed to in order for them to come back next month? And you know, a customer in the supplement industry should be your customer for at least, you know, 2.5 years, and that's like the average customer that you're going to have, is 2.5 years. If you do the right thing, they'll stay 2.5 years. If you do the wrong thing, they'll buy one product and they'll never purchase from you again. And the only thing that does is actually they start talking bad about you, and you're never going to succeed in a market like that.
Mm. You know, I was at, speaking of Bezos, I was at Fitness Business Summit, and Andy Frisella, which I know you know who that is. He was there and he was talking, and obviously he is the CEO of First Form, which is, you know, another really large company. And he said that so many people focus on the first time sale. Like you'll do anything to get the first time customer, whether that's supplements or coaching, like it's just about the sale today. But what he was saying, which you perfectly alluded to there, is it's about the long-term relationship with a client or with a customer. Like you said, the average retention rate for the supplement business, like a good retention rate, should be 2.5 years. So, I mean, for maybe someone who's a new coach or just someone new in business, like how do you put the customer first when you're coming into business and like you yourself maybe don't have any customers or don't have any clients, you have bills to pay, you have people depending on you. How do you like put aside the initial thought, which I think we all have of, I need to make money versus I need to impact people, I need to take care of people, and then the revenue or the money will come?
Yeah, I mean, Andy Frisella, he's doing really well in the industry. He's got really great quality work, and his supplements are the highest quality. There's a lot of companies out there that do not put the quality that they should behind the brand. So when they start to go and sell it, they're just pushing for numbers. I mean, in this industry, when we look at First Form, we look at all these other big companies, when they started, they didn't really make any money for a year, 2 years, 3 years. They started making money like their fourth, fifth, sixth year. And that still wasn't even a large lump sum of what they're doing now. The growth comes on X's, like 10X. I have this concept where you got to hold off and you got to find out what your thought is before you think about the money. Because at the end of the day, you're going to take it to the next level. And you have to think about the next 10 steps. And if you need to start wealth with making $1 first, then making $10, then making $100, then making $1,000, $1,000, $10,000, $100,000, then $1,000,000. Then if you took look at it from $1,000,000, you go from $1,000,000 to 10, and then 10 to 100. So it's pretty much how you extrapolate where you want to go and where you see the vision of your company. A lot of the times when people start a supplement company, they just put, you know, they get 500 units. And, you know, 500 units is a great run, right? You're going to spend about $5,000 to $6,000 with labels. And if you do the proper ingredients, you're going to spend about $10 to $12 a unit on the pills and the powders, and protein is more expensive. But most companies, they start with the pills and the powder because it's very convenient as far as money goes. And they only have to shell out X amount. What people don't do, which why I made a big mistake in my first supplement company, was when I started to look for manufacturers and I was trying to find out, all right, how do I get my supplements manufactured and made of the proper ingredients? I look at all of these other manufacturing plants and they're all telling me that the minimum order quantity was 1,500 units. And 1,500 units, and I need to launch three products, I ended up spending about $45,000 on that run. Right. So, but I totally forgot about my marketing costs. And that's the one thing when I was 21, 22, I totally forgot to add in that padded cost for marketing. And a lot of young entrepreneurs that start in supplements, they forget that marketing is the way you get out there. So what I did was I did it the hard route. I went literally store to store to store and started talking to the owners, shaking their hands, meeting them. They had no idea who the hell I was. But, you know, I showed my face up there 2-3 times a week. Asked how they like the samples and so on. And at that point, if you don't have a follower base, you don't have a customer base, you're just going to have to go out there and find them. And you're going to have to relate to people like the way business was done 20 years ago. Business 20 years ago was not done on Instagram. It was still done person to person. So when people think that they can just open up a supplement company and post up stuff on Instagram, that's not where all the money is made. The money is made behind the relationship you build with people. And if you can literally take away the storefront feeling and you can add the personal touch to Instagram, you've already dominated the market because now you don't need to go to a retail store. You're literally giving that person that walks into a store the same exact touch as if you were to go and sell them on Instagram.
That's good, man. I really like that. It seems like you've always had that mentality of like, you know, work hard, hustle, hustle, hustle. You had a really cool post on your Instagram. It was talking about like a lemonade stand. You were 11 years old, it was 100-degree heat. And just, you know, you talked about taking action and, you know, hustling with that. So like, was that something you always had? Was, you know, where did that come from? And like, what do you see, I guess, newer maybe entrepreneurs when it comes to like hustle, like where you see them lacking or making mistakes with, what are your thoughts on that?
And that post, I think it was a while ago, actually. So I remember that. I actually remember that week clearly when I had started that first lemonade stand, because it was the first time I actually made money. And, you know, the government can have to me because I made like $200-$300 and they can screw me for taxes if they want to. But I made the money because when I was walking down the street, there's competition on our street, right? So when I started the stand with one of my friends, two or three other kids, they started their stand down the street. And my neighborhood was a wraparound neighborhood. So when people would walk down the street in the heat, they would go on a walk. But then I realized there's a lot of people that weren't coming out of their house. We were the only dumbasses that were sitting out there just drenched in sweat because we were trying to sell something to somebody, but there's no customer base. Nobody was walking really down the street. So I got the idea of going to the store, taking the first batch of money that I had made from the people that were walking. I got my mom to bring me to the store. We actually purchased a large lump sum of all the ingredients that we needed to create lemonade. And then instead of waiting for people to come, we would just go door to door to door and sell them by the containers. So when we go, and so the one thing I learned there was convenience, right? So a lot of people, when it's hot out, they don't want to go out. So you need to go to them. And the only way that you're going to make money, like that day I made $400 and something, and I was 12 years old. So at the end of the day, if I can do that at 12 years old, and just put together some certain pieces where it's just an instinct that I just see that, all right, these kids are struggling out here and they're trying to be my competition. So now I need to shift focus and go after the people that they potentially could get if they walk by their stand before they walk by mine. And I would just go to the door to door and knock on the doors. And you know, a 12-year-old kid, who's not going to give you $5, $10? But it's the fact that I actually got up and went door to door. And by the time I was like 4 or 5 o'clock, I had already hit every single house in the neighborhood. So that other lemonade stand that actually went out of, they were actually not bringing in any sales. So I went there and I actually ended up buying all of their product from them so that they could walk away from it and made some more lemonade and hit the next neighborhood over. So I basically took them out of business, if you look at it that way, at 12 years old, and went to the next neighborhood and started selling more.
That's great, man. So you obviously you were able to take action, you know, at a young age, and that's obviously something that stuck with you for a while. What do you see a lot of newer entrepreneurs making the mistake about of overanalyzing? And I'm pretty sure you talked about this in that post. You know, people who overanalyze, who think, and then shoot, who maybe want to start a business, but then they think about it and they make a plan and they feel like it's not going to work. Just the difference between overanalyzing and kind of like shooting yourself in the foot by doing that versus just having to take action and then course correct as you go.
Look, I mean, at the end of the day, when you take action on anything, you should think about it. I'm not telling people don't think about what you need to know, a set plan. So like, I don't know any successful person in this million, $2 million, $10 million a year. Always had a plan. They just learned to execute at the correct time. Like I said, like the idea was $80 million or $100 million. You need to get the fuck out when it comes to that point. The problem with other people is once they get to 60, they're like, oh, maybe I can get to 220 and 280 and 290. I mean, it's okay to adjust where you want to go, but you need to have that set number where you're like, okay, this is it. And that's more than enough. Like I was actually talking about this with somebody else last week when Instagram got bought, they got bought for $1 billion by Facebook, but now it's worth 35, 40. The problem is those kids, like on the outside, when we're looking at it, we're like, well, they're stupid as hell because they went and they sold and they couldn't afford 25, 30. But at the end of the day, those kids are like, all right, it's $1 billion. That's what we want. And that's what we're going to get out with. And that's a number. So it's always having a set plan. When you start any business, it's always planning out from the beginning to the end. And you need to know, of course, things are going to happen in between where you need to start to shift focus and adjust. But the end goal should never be any different than when you started. And people that don't put enough thought into their business, they're going as people get their paychecks every Friday. And they're like, all right, well, I'm going to get my paycheck next week. And then I'm probably going to save it. But what happens, people get their paycheck on Friday and they end up spending it all. So at the end of the day, nobody had set a goal. When you set a goal for where you want to go, you will get there no matter which detour you have to take to get there. It's all, every single business is full of detours. Any business that is successful is full of detours, and any business that is failing is full of detours. It's just the people that know where they want to end up will always get there, whether it goes downhill or uphill. It's just like the stock market. Stocks do very well one day and they don't do very well the next day, but they figure it out and they come back up.
I like that. No, I like that a lot. And I agree. I think that you have to know exactly where you want to end up and then be willing to course correct and take different routes along the way. But as long as you know where you want to end up and you have that final goal, then no matter what, you're going to end up getting there.
Yeah. People, I just think people get too greedy. They just, it's not like, if you're going to try to get this one big hit, like your one big wonder hit where you get acquired for $100 million, how many times do you think you need to figure out, how many businesses do you think you really need to open as a realistic person in order for you to get that one company that is perfect? You need to open up a bunch of them. You need to fail and close down a couple of companies so that you learn the experiences and then you take it to the next level. Otherwise, if you never learned how to fail, how the hell are you supposed to hold that check for $100 million and say, I actually earned it?
Yeah, I like that. Can you, and I know you mentioned earlier that you made that one mistake with your first supplement business, but can you talk about like some failures in your own life and then the lessons you've taken from them? And if you had not had those failures, maybe you wouldn't have the success that you have today.
I mean, failures, I mean, all I do since I was 16 was I worked. So my family is not entrepreneur based, right? My mom and dad, they work. My mom's actually retired now, which is a good thing. My dad's never going to retire because he's just stubborn. He could have retired 10 years ago, but it's just a work ethic that when they came to America, they didn't have anything. So when my uncles, so my dad has 7 brothers, and when they all came here, 2 of them opened up hotels in Florida, and my dad decided to just work. So it wasn't really an entrepreneur type of family. There was no, hey, I'm going to try to do my own business. It was always, you need to go to school, you need to get a degree, and then you need to get a good job, and then you need to get good benefits. In my eyes, I'm the youngest in my entire family out of all my 30-something cousins on my dad's side. I'm the youngest. And I always break the rules. I always bend the rules. I always try to make my own way, because I'm the last person in line, right? So I ship the future for the next generation of my nieces and my nephews. And I don't want them to believe that they just need to go to school and they need to do certain things the way that society tells them to. It's the only reason why I've ended up where I've ended up is because I actually go out and I do exactly what I want to do, but I stay within my morals. And a lot of people, when they do what they want to do, they can make a lot of money, but they always go outside of their boundaries of their morals. They always have to live every day and say to themselves, like, it's okay, I'll figure it out tomorrow, or I'll fix this thing that I said to this person today. You always got to think about what you're telling people. And when I was younger, I always had this concept about life is never going to be easy. And since I was younger, my life has never been easy. So people that think that I've come from a wealthy background, I actually didn't come from a wealthy background at all. I didn't even come from a household or family that supported entrepreneurship. So how I ended up here was on my own. So once I got my job when I was 16, I worked the front desk for a year and a half at the gym. Then I went to LA Fitness and I started working there as sales for personal training. I was doing about $50,000 to $75,000 a month in sales and personal training packages. So I was up next to get promoted, and then the VP of the company actually told me that I'm not going to get promoted because of my age and whatever the case was at the time. So I pretty much quit and I went on my own way. That's when I realized that that was pretty much time for me to be on my own, because I was just fed up with people telling me that, I'm doing the numbers, and it was just like holding a carrot with a string on it and just keep pulling it farther and farther away as I'm doing more and more. So it's like, I've already learned that people will lead you on for as long as they need to until they get what they want out of you, and then kick you to the side of the road. So when I figured that out at 19, I went and started my own personal training business, because that's all I knew. I was selling personal training for 2 years and I was doing really well with it. And I was like, why am I going to make this company $1 million a year when I could do that for myself? And they don't even treat me right. So, at the end of the day, I would just rather do it myself. I started off going to Hoboken, New Jersey, which is where I had realized that personal training was a big thing. This is about 7 years ago when personal training in apartment complexes didn't even exist. It was always, you got to go to the gym. You got to get a personal trainer at, you know, Crunch Fitness or Planet Fitness or whatever those gyms are at the time. And in my mind, I was like, why would somebody that's spending, you know, $4,000 or $5,000 a month in rent going to want to drive in New York City style traffic and sit in traffic to go to a gym, get a personal trainer, and then spend another hour sitting in traffic to come home, realizing that by the time they get home, they got to cook, they got to eat, and they go straight to bed. And for somebody that's spending that much money, they're making a decent amount. So I was basically taking personal training and bringing convenience to the wealthy. So those gyms, when I went to those apartment complexes, actually look at them, they're all empty. The gyms all day, I would go once or twice a day and nobody was up there. Not one personal trainer was up there. These are really nice gyms. They're rooftop gyms. They have a view of New York City, all glass. And that's when I realized, I was like, this is what I want to do. So then I put together a list of every single one of the apartment complexes in that area, because I liked that area a lot, even though it was a 40-minute drive for me from East Hanover, where I grew up. I would just drive back and forth. And, you know, it took me three weeks just to get one meeting, but I just kept going to these buildings. And, you know, I'm 19, 20 years old, and these people are looking at me like I'm an idiot. They're like, what do you have of value that you're going to bring to me as a 19 and 20 year old? So they wouldn't even listen to me, right? So they tell me, we'll take a message, we'll do all this stuff. And then I end up getting voicemails over voicemails. I got denied 45 times in that one apartment complex in that area. And there was about 30 complexes. Never even called me back. Not one of them. So what I did was I figured out and I picked the one that I liked, the one that I could see myself being in for, you know, until the time I sold it, or if I started and I sold it. So I picked this one that was right on the water, and I went there every day for 14 days and I showed my face up every day. And that girl got so pissed off at me that she let me see the property manager. Within that time, when I actually got that meeting, I wasn't even excited because it took me so long. I think after the first week, I was like, yeah, I'm just going to go back to work. Like, I actually thought about it and I was like, this is just annoying. I was like, nobody's listening to me. I have something of huge value. I just don't know how somebody's going to hear what I have to say to them. So then I just took the route of forcing my way in. And I forced my way in by not physically forcing my way in, but showing my face up every day. And when people see your face every day, they're going to say, okay, all right, why is this kid still coming back here? Like, he's driving 40 minutes to come here. And what value is this kid bringing to me that he sees that I don't? So when I sat down with the lady, she actually told me, she was like, you know, you've come here for the last 14 days and I don't know why you keep showing up here. But if you want to meet me, I have about 5 minutes to talk with you. So I told the lady, it's typical sales pitch. I was like, you can have five. I was like, I only need 1 minute to tell you why you need me. And then that piqued your interest. And I just was talking like that because I wanted to get the deal. And I literally explained it to her. I told her the simple concept, and it took me less than a minute to tell her, was when people come to this building, they want convenience. They do not want to drive in traffic, and their time is worth more than red stop and go lights. So at the end of the day, you have a gym here, you have the clientele that can spend the money here, and you have wasted space upstairs. You're not using it. It's an amenity, but nobody's making money off. You're not capitalizing on every part of this building. Every part of this building should be capitalized on 100% so that the owner of this building can make their money back and make money. So I was like, when somebody comes home from work, they're going to spend about 2.5 hours in traffic going to their gym, wasting time. I was like, they come home, they park the car, they miss the traffic, they go upstairs, they put the chicken in the oven for 30 minutes, and then they go shoot up straight to the rooftop gym, train with their personal trainer, come back down in 45 minutes, chicken's done, and they've saved over 2.5 hours of their time just by living here. You've offered them something that they can purchase here and not down the street. Once I told her that, it was a closed deal, because she basically told me she had nothing to say at the end. The last thing I remember her telling me when I walked out was, you're the most persistent motherfucker I've ever met in my life. And that I've taken with me in every single business. And that was a good feeling, because it was a month of just going back and forth, getting denied. Like, I just didn't have the will to give up. I did question it, which everybody does question it, but it's the fact that, did you make it to the end? And I would have done it for another 2 months, maybe 3 months, and I would have still questioned myself, and still, I would have just changed my approach. I would have went to another town, another building, because I saw something that nobody else saw. And I was like, nobody else is doing it. I went to all 30 complexes, not one personal trainer was in there. If I go down that street right now, every single apartment complex has outsourced personal training company in it right now. And if you go there right now, they have it. And that's the saddest part about that was over there when I started it and people started to realize that was a trend, it started to go into every other building.
Wow.
Now that entire town is just full. The entire city is just full of personal training departments inside of apartment complexes. You have the gym, you have the space, you have the equipment that the apartment complex already paid for. So the only thing you need to do is provide a service, right? So there's 800 people in that building. I had signed about 80 of those clients, and those 80 clients are spending a ton of money every month just to do personal training. For the first 10 months, I went there myself 7 days a week. I lost all my friends, didn't do anything but work. And I went there every day. I would wake up at 3:30 in the morning. I would leave my house by 4. I'd be there by 5, and I would start working from 5. And since I didn't have enough money, so I took my savings from my last job, and I need to make money first. So I would just stay there all day, and I would nap in the club room of the apartment complex during the day when I needed to. And I would just literally work all day until 11 p.m. Then I'd come home by 12, go to sleep, take a shower, eat a little bit, and then go back to sleep, do it again 7 days a week for 10 months. So when people tell me that they can't, you know, they can't do something for a week, I did it for 10 months. And I didn't have the urge to go out with my friends, which is what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to go out with my friends at 19 and 20. I'm supposed to go to the movies. I'm supposed to have a good time. But at the end of the day, it's not what you're supposed to do. It's what you want to do and where you want to end up. And I realized that was an opportunity that I'm not going to give up.
That's a badass story, man. I love that. And that was only 19 to 20. So I'm sure you've got, you know, plenty more of your stories like that from.
The funny thing is I actually ended up, so one of the guys that was my clients, so I do all the personal training sessions, and then I would build a relationship with the clients. I would talk to them. Obviously these people, they wanted somebody to talk to. A lot of the time with personal training sessions with the older crowd, they just don't have anybody to talk to, or they're trying to vent about their day at work. And it's just a good therapy session on top of getting in shape and teaching them how to work out. And one of my clients, he actually was the vice president of a company in New York City, and he was living in that building because he didn't want to live in New York City with all the traffic. And Hoboken is 10 minutes from New York City. You go through the tunnel and you're there. So he was talking to me and he's like, yeah, like this is my job. I don't really like it. I mean, it's a lot of hours. I have to work all the time. And then I told him, I was like, this is what I do. And he asked me how much money I make. And he actually ended up buying the company for me after the year was over. And then he quit his job. And now he lives in that building. I actually saw him last year. He lives in that building. He's increased the business from, I think it was $300,000 for the year into $750,000. And he is living there rent-free. He sold his R8 and his Range Rover because he doesn't need a car anymore. He literally just trains, hires trainers, and travels because the airport's right there. Like he has literally the perfect business for what he wanted to do, because he was going to school to be a personal trainer on the side just because he wanted to learn how to do it. So once he got certified, then he was able to purchase the business.
Not bad. Not too shabby, right?
My client was my acquisition. So at the end of the day, you never know who can purchase your company. So you have to always be aware of your surroundings and the people you talk to. I remember there's so many people. So when I got denied all those times, it was just building up the thick skin to say, okay, somebody's going to say no. Then I just turn around and say, fuck you. And that's literally what I've done since that day, was because when I took this business model to a person I knew that could help me with it, he basically told me I should go get a job and that this is not going to work out. The second he told me that, I just got this fire in me that told me that I'm going to actually do this. And I'm going to slap in his face. And after the 10 months was over, every single day of the week, I would just think about that person telling me I couldn't do something. And every single time I saw progress, I just kept going and going and going. And then once I got to the finish line, I crossed it. I didn't stop an inch short.
That's awesome, man. I think that's something that's so important that so many people need to hear, stories like this when they're getting started. And again, this can apply for fitness. This can apply, you know, if you want to lose 50 pounds, if you want to do a bikini competition, if you want to start a business, that at first you're going to get smacked around a lot. You're going to get told no, you're going to have setbacks, you're going to have initial failures. But what you can, what some person can ascertain from your story here is, if you just keep going and you put in the long, you know, tiring, exhausting work initially, and you know, you learn, you get better, you course correct. Like you said, you don't know what might happen in 10 months from now, a year from now, 16 months from now. Would you agree that just too many people, as we wrap this up here, that too many people just, they give up way too early. They give up too early right before they strike gold.
I always have the thing, don't quit today, quit tomorrow. And it's a simple concept of whenever you feel like quitting, it's not the day to quit. Because at the end of the day, if you truly believe in what you want and where you're going to end up, it just, you need to believe it. And like I made a post today, I don't know if you saw it today, but it's all about belief. The only reason why people do well in life is because they believe what they're doing. If you don't believe what you were doing, you will only last a couple of years. If you look at the supplement space now, there's companies that will start, they will blow up, they will hit $10 million a year, and then 2 years later, something happens, they don't know how to handle it, and they end up fucking broke, and their company shuts down. So with money comes the responsibility of believing that you earned it as well. So when people say, hey, I just woke up tomorrow and I got $10 million in my bank account, what do you think is going to happen to that money? That money's going to be gone probably in under a year. But if you actually worked your ass off for 4 years, 5 years, and you built something that's worth having, you're never going to lose that money. I don't care what you do, but if you build a discipline to save and invest, never spend. So anything you do you should never say it out of your mouth as, I'm going to spend it on this car or that watch or that shirt. It should always be, I'm going to invest it in this one because this is what's going to give me the motivation to do better. Everybody always looks at what, like if I have a nice car, people are going to look and they're going to say, I want a car like that. But they don't understand what this person is when they sit in that car, why they're sitting in that car. All these guys that have these nice cars that are successful entrepreneurs, they're sitting in the car because they deserve it. And they know that they want to go to the next level. So they're buying things that are going to get them inch by inch closer in a mindset. Other people, they're looking at it, working at McDonald's saying, I'm going to drive a Ferrari, but they don't know from going to $9 an hour to $1,000 an hour, what it takes and why that person's sitting in that car and why he's sitting in a Honda Civic. At the end of the day, it's always about working towards the goal and always believing in yourself. Believing in yourself is the number one reason why entrepreneurs either do well or they fail. It's either why they have great relationships with their spouse or they get divorced. If they don't believe in the relationship or they don't believe in what they're doing for a living, you're never going to like it and you're always going to quit at some point. But if you believe in it from the beginning and you actually work towards it and you set standards of where you want to go and what you want to accomplish, it's just like any other, it's like any race. You can't just go from the first lap to the 10th. You have to go through every single lap. And if you can't make it past the third lap, you're never going to end up at the 10th lap. It's just common sense. But people, they're always literally checking like all the time. I've seen these people when I'm growing up and I was seeing all these entrepreneurs, they're always checking like, oh, let me check my bank account every day. Like your bank account didn't change every day. I'll be honest with you. When you're an entrepreneur, your bank account's actually probably going to go down, if anything, when you're starting off. But these guys are always checking like, oh, I made another 150 bucks today. I made this today. They're always checking when they should be checking. Hey, did I hit $1 million yet? No, if I didn't, then I'm going to put my head down and keep working. But they're always incrementally checking like, how much more do I have? How much more do I have? And that's the worst way to build an entrepreneur career. You can't just go through life and keep checking on everything, right? That's like having a crazy ex-girlfriend that always checks up on you all the time. You're going to get pissed off and you're not going to want to talk to her.
The stage five. You always got to
give that space. You always got to give that space between, and I have my fair share of those. So you always got to give that space between where you want to go and set the goals. It's like getting on the scale. If you want to get in shape and you're in fitness and you want to get on that scale, you're not going to get on the scale every day. I promise you, people that actually get in shape, they don't hop on that scale for a month at a time, maybe 2 months, because they know that nothing happens overnight. Nothing happens the next morning. Nothing that's worth having is going to happen the next week, right? So it's always working towards the goal over and over and over, but not having to check. You're just going and you're putting your head down and you're working. And wherever you end up, when you do end up putting your head up, is going to be a better place than if you kept checking all the time.
Dude, that was solid, man. That was a perfect way to kind of sum it all up there. And, you know, it's so funny that you said for the entrepreneur who checks their bank account every day. I was that person when I first started. And I think we've all been there to where you're right. At first, it's almost depressing because you see that number dip down. And you drew that perfect parallel between that in entrepreneur world versus this person who jumps on the scale every day. And it's like, oh, shit, it didn't move. But I'm working hard. And like, oh, it didn't move again. But you're absolutely right, Matt. I love that. You just put your head down. You keep grinding until you reach that long-term goal. And, you know, you assess when you need to assess. That might be once a week or once a month. You know, I've trained myself in business now. I look at like P&L statements and, you know, client acquisition and retention. I look at that on like a month-to-month basis because anything else is just going to drive me nuts in the meantime. So I took a lot away from that analogy. So that was really good, man. So
yeah, if you back up and you actually look at like what people do is they go 100 feet ahead. And then they always check what's to come, but nobody appreciates what's behind them. That's the problem with entrepreneurs now. They think it's so easy and then it's so handed out to them. Right now, it's actually not even, is it harder because there's more competition? Not only does everybody have a phone, but how are you going to get seen? Retail stores are dipping down and there's retail stores that are closing down. So all the competition, everybody's just rummaging into this little hole called Instagram or Facebook, but they don't know that they should be going into Instagram and Facebook when there's no traffic. There should be, you're literally trying to cram in all at the same time. So the people that got in first, they got in easily, right? It's just like going to get boarded on an airplane. First people, they get boarded easily, but then when it comes to group five, everybody's sucking trying to get into the door at the same time, or they're trying to get online. There's still ways to create space. So if you're that person that's sitting down and assessing why these dumbasses are standing online on group five when they're at the end of the fucking line, when they already have a seat in the plane, they're still getting up. And I do this sometimes when I'm group five, I literally sit down, I watch all these dumbasses get on fucking line, and they'll sit there and they'll literally be looking down at their thing, and they'll be standing there for about 20 minutes, right? And I'm sitting down, I'm comfortable, I'm waiting for it to free up. I'm not waiting because I want to be boarded last. I'm waiting because the way that my life has always worked is that every single time somebody has got on the highway at 9 a.m. to go to work, I never had to, right? So every single time that there's traffic on the highway, when I always wanted to do something, I always left before or I left whenever I wanted to after. I never ever in my life in New Jersey have ever hit traffic because I've never had to go and report to somebody at 9 to 5. The only reason why there's rush hour in the morning, rush hour in the afternoon is because every person, 80% of the people are working 9 to 5, and they're all trying to get there by 9, and they're all trying to leave there by 5. So my schedule was I can go at 5 a.m. if I wanted to. I can go at 11 a.m. if I wanted to. I can go at 9 p.m. at night if I wanted to, and I would never hit traffic because I always chose to be where there's the most resistance in the beginning and then literally cruising my way through once I figured it out. So all these people, they're going through the resistance on 9 to 5. They're hitting that traffic and they're sitting and they're getting mad and they're like, oh, I'm going to be late to work or I'm going to get fired. Well, you know what? I don't have that worry because I can go to work whenever the fuck I want and I can do whatever I want because I've made it that way. But people are never going to learn it that way. They're always going to sit in traffic and they're always going to think that this is how life works. Life doesn't work that way if you don't want it to, right? So at the end of the day, you can either be fat or you can be skinny. It's up to you.
Mm. That's it, man. I love that. I love that fire. So, dude, if people want to learn more about you or connect with your amazing content, like your Instagram posts are great, man. They're very good. Obviously, I referenced a few today. You do a great job at storytelling, and they're lengthy captions, but they're always very captivating, and they're tons of knowledge bombs. So how can people connect with you or learn more about you and your business and what everything that you're doing?
You can just shoot me a direct message. So what I've done over the course of the last, you know, 6 years, I've built a huge network of contacts, and Bedros is one of those contacts in there that's on a higher scale. It's literally, I was sitting there all day when my friends are telling me I was crazy, and I was just sending direct messages to all these entrepreneurs and people with check marks that were in the entrepreneur space that I knew I could build to create some sort of value to. And, you know, I did an article with another publication, I think 6 months ago, just going over how to connect with people on Instagram through direct messages and, you know, linking with them and knowing more about them than literally they do, because you need to know when you reach out to somebody, people send so many generic messages saying like, hey, I'd love to connect. Like if you said, hey, I'd love to connect, I'm in the same fitness and health sector as you, like that will speak out to me because you actually know who I am. The other ones look like spam. So I like when people go an extra mile to go to my Instagram, send me a direct message. And if it's appealing enough, I will open it and I will answer it. But if you do not make it appealing enough, I will not open it or not answer it. And if you're trying to sell me something, I will definitely not answer. And I will actually respond back in a negative way. So at the end of the day, people know that when they direct message me, I've built these contacts through direct messaging, sitting there at 1, 2 a.m., sending out 20 at a time every hour, because that's what Instagram allowed you to do at the time. And I would get one hit. All you need is one hit back, one contact, one person that can help in your business. And once you do that, you can, the sky's the limit, because that one person knows 10 other people and 20 other people and 30 other people. And all those people that are in that group that you're trying to search into all have some sort of expertise in their industry, but they also know other people in other industries that are just as successful as them. So I was able to build my network really vast with, you know, billionaires and millionaires and, you know, some small entrepreneurs because they have the fire in them. It's not because they have a lot of money. You should never go after the fact that the person has a lot of money. You should go after the fact that the person has a lot of value. And a lot of people overlook Instagram and Facebook and direct messaging because they think that, oh, this guy's got 500,000 followers, he's not going to answer me. Well, you know what? If you said everything the correct way, he may have answered you. So in the beginning, when Kevin Harrington actually had an Instagram, he had about 10,000 followers. And this is when I was like, oh, like, you know, I see this guy on TV all the time. And, you know, I might as well just go and reach out to him to direct message. So I reached out to him direct message. Next morning, I woke up, he answered. This is the guy that people are dying to get on the phone with because he's on Shark Tank. And I was able to direct message with him the next morning. And all it took was the fact that I'm not crazy and that I know it would work. And I know that I'd be able to connect with them. Like, I believed in it. That's why I did it. That's why I stayed up to 2-3 o'clock in the morning, sending those messages to connect with people. And I'm a very good networker because I'm able to connect people with what they need. Like, if somebody that's an entrepreneur doesn't have a skill set in a certain industry that I know of, I will surely connect them.
That's great, man. So, all right. So I'll link to your Instagram, and I mean, you just put it out there. So if anyone wants to shoot you a DM, better make it interesting, better not try to sell you something stupid.
So. We do a lot of sourcing manufacturing for supplements as well. So it's not just like I have my own brand, but my main business when I started was in manufacturing. So like we'll actually do everything from the beginning to end with formulation. So we have a formulator at the lab. We have everything that you need to launch ready to go drinks, protein bars, supplements of any kind, not gummy bears though, just supplements of any kind that you can think of. We can formulate any flavor that you can think of. We will formulate it. We have thousands of flavoring options. You have no idea. Like, we can do Jolly Rancher flavor, cotton candy, peach ring flavor. We can do pretty much anything to make your brand stand out if people are interested in doing their own supplement line or whatever the case is. I don't believe in, so my main thing was I never believed in not helping other people do what they want to do. Like, if you want to be in the supplement space, I'm in the same space as you, good luck. Cause you know what? There's fucking 7 billion people on the planet. And I'm sure that your niche is not going to link with my niche. And it's the end of the day, it's always about helping other people. Like, I don't care if a guy that I brought on board that ordered 1,000 units is now doing 200,000 units a month. As long as he's doing well and I was able to help him move forward, it's the same exact thing as if I were to do that with my own company. Of course, I want my own company to grow and thrive just as much as that. But at the end of the day, if you're able to do better than me, then I'm gonna suck it up and I'm gonna learn from you.
Oh, absolutely, man. I think you can never stop learning, especially from, you know, things that like colleagues in your field and all that. Anyone who tries to like just stick to themselves and not share their information or share their knowledge or, like you said, share their connections, I don't think you're going to do well. So, dude,
sharing the experiences through the bad experiences are mainly the only ones that, like, I'm the type of person that if I see a hole in the ground, I'm not going to go and step in the fucking hole because I saw somebody else fall in it. I'll help the person out. But at the end of the day, I learned from other people's mistakes very well since I was a kid, since that first lemonade stand, since the first company. I learned from people's mistakes without having to do it. When I see kids do drugs and do stupid stuff when they go out at night, I've never done a single drug because I've always looked at what happens to them by the end of the night. And I say, that is not going to be me tomorrow morning, so I'm not going to do it. And that's a small factor of what an entrepreneur should have in their brain when they're looking at other brands in competition with them. They need to look at, what is this company doing that they're going into a hole with that I shouldn't do and I should learn from, instead of me being the dumbass that goes in, falls into the hole, and then says, oh yeah, you know what? You were right. No shit, you were right. You fell in the fucking hole and now I'm in the hole with you.
That's right. Yeah, I agree with that, man. That's that was really good. So, dude, thank you so much, man. You came in, you brought a lot of fire, a lot of good practical information. I love the stories about your life that you talked about and just everything you tied in here, man. So I will go ahead and I'll link to your Instagram in this podcast description. So, guys, if you enjoy this, go give Amar a follow. I love his posts. His Instagram is very, very good. So definitely check all that out. If you guys enjoy the podcast, feel free to leave a review, hit the subscribe button. And all I ask is you tell one friend about the podcast. So I continue to bring on very successful entrepreneurs, very successful people who are sharing their stories, bring so much value. So the whole mission of the podcast is to continue to grow and build this. So all I ask is you bring me one friend. And Amar, bro, thank you so much for your time today, man. This was very, very good stuff, man.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah, we'll talk soon, brother. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thank you.